Good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the start of the workshop. Here's our title, Spreading the Message, Looking for the Compulsive Eater Who Still Suffers. And we'll go ahead and start the official meeting. Welcome to everybody. There's a reading that we wanted to do at the beginning, so I'll go ahead and kick it off. Welcome to the 2012 Global Convention of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HAL, the Gifts of CHAL. My name is Roberta. I am a compulsive eater, and I am your workshop leader. Good morning. Thanks for all for being here. Would you please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay. Compulsive Eaters Anonymous HAL is a group of individuals who, through shared experience and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. CHAL is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. Today, this session will be taped. If you choose to participate in any discussion in this session, you must sign this form right over here that just grants the CHAL the ability to tape you, and it allows CHAL to have specific rights to tape your voice. And so, again, when participating in today's discussion, please remember our cherished tradition of anonymity, remembering not to mention names of people in your share. And just FYI, I've been in program since January 31st, 2007, and have had a continued abstinence since then, and I attend meetings in Area 10. So that's the mandatory workshop reading. And so the next slide I want to show is, again, the message for today is called Spreading the Message, Looking for the Compulsive Eater Who Still Suffers. And the purpose of this workshop is twofold. Number one, to define what does it mean to provide the public with information about CHAL. And number two, to give our fellowship, the folks here in this room, a vision of the practical ways we can bring our message of recovery to the public and ultimately to the compulsive eater who still suffers. So that's the two reasons we're here today. So again, who am I? I am a compulsive eater. My name's Roberta. I'm also a member of this year's Public Information Committee, which is one of the World Service Organization's committees that there are every year. And one of our projects this past year was to create a public information guideline. And and that was to help educate our fellowship. And to be honest with you, when I first was put on the committee, I actually said, so I'm sorry, what is that? What is public information and what are we supposed to do and what do you want me to do? And so one of the things that have been carried over from previous years was to create a public information guideline, something that would help the fellowship and guide them about, well, how should we communicate with the public about CHAL? And so that was our vision, to create a document that summarized that approach, and maybe to use the public information work that Alcoholics Anonymous had done already. They have a very well-established PI, or Public Information Committee, so we wanted to leverage what they had done in the past. So one of the things our committee did was we did extensive interviews with probably 8 different longtime CHAL members, where we just called them and said, what does public information mean to you? What does it not mean? How have you seen it work or not work? So we conducted interviews, and out of that, we created a guideline, and we actually passed those out. Does anyone not have a copy? Oh, please, here you go. And so this really is the end result of our vision, which is just a suggested guideline, a public information guideline, about how we communicate with the public. So there's extra copies if you want to take them back. But this presentation is really a summary of that, because we all learn in different ways. I tend to learn when someone tells me rather than just read it. So that's one of the benefits of this workshop here. So again, this workshop summarizes the work that the Public Information Committee did this year to create the guidelines. And you can see my little graphic here. Who is this workshop really for? It's actually not for you guys. It's actually for the compulsive eater who still suffers. And the compulsive eater who still suffers, chances are, has not heard about CHAL, and therefore they're not here at this year's convention. And that's who this really is for, the compulsive eater who still suffers and who hasn't yet heard about CHAL. I was talking to somebody at WSO a couple weeks ago and about this workshop, and the person said, Roberta, I'm so glad you guys are going to be putting on this workshop. I had 2 people call today and said, how is it that I've never heard of you guys? There are compulsive eaters out there that have never heard. I, for years, never knew Seahaw was here. And when I, now this is not for everybody, but it was here for me. And so I needed to hear about it. So that's who this workshop is for. Okay, so what's the goal of this workshop again? And that is to inform and educate you guys, the Fellowship of Seahaw, about the need to make the public aware of our program of recovery. And what does that really mean? And what are the different ways that we can reach the compulsive eater who still suffers? And how might you or we accomplish this? Ultimately, at the end of the day, you guys decide if you want to do anything or not. It's not our job as a committee to say, you must do this. This is all just food for thought to see if your higher power would move you to say, maybe there's something you can do for the public at large. So that's the main points of that slide. Although the last point, again, ideally, this workshop will give you a vision for how you can carry the message of recovery. Now, one of the very first things that always comes up is, what about attraction versus promotion? And this is a point where I wanted to open it up for the folks here in the room to ask you guys, what do you think it means, the whole concept of attraction versus promotion, and how should that guide us when we think about telling the public about Seahaw? So with that, we're going to open it up for two or three people to share, maybe two or three minutes. Would anyone like to share their thoughts or concepts about how attraction versus promotion should play out in regards to public information? And just a reminder, if you do speak, we need you to sign in here. Would anyone like to share? Please, I have two folks, and I'll let you come up and sign in, and then you can speak at the microphone here in the center.
Yep, no worries.
So again, this is a tape session, so we're just making sure that you sign in ahead of time. But if you want to share after, you can sign in now if you like. Welcome. No worries. Glad to have you.
This question about what is attraction and what is promotion and where do you cross the line of the tradition has been debated in my inner group extensively, and we've pretty much come to the conclusion that we're comfortable with, that we are allowed to promote the organization. We cannot promote ourselves in the process of doing it. So our names aren't attached to anything. We had a wonderful interview from somebody in the newspaper. They wanted to take photos, but we told them, well, they finally, they respected what we wanted. They took the photograph from behind. And so the person is sitting in the chair, but you can't see the person's face. And they felt it had to be personalized, so some name had to be used, not the general statement of anonymity, so no name. So it was a fictitious name that was used. And the result was the organization got promoted, and presumably the attraction was then out there, but the individual was not.
And we'll have the next person share, who's ever signed in next. Oh, yeah, no worries, it's all good.
Hi, my experience is that I was quite a promoter at the beginning of my recovery because of my excitement and enthusiasm for the program, so I was warned to be an attraction, not a promoter. And so one of the pieces of advice was listen for the question. So I am now ready to hear what you have to offer so that I can be a promoter again, but in the right way.
Thank you very much. And please, yeah.
I think that just being from the people that knew me and then see the transformation of the weight loss promoted it. At the beginning, especially at the beginning, I know that's how I got to Seahaw, is I saw someone that had been in another program with me many years before, and when that program changed, we were gone, and I saw her, and she had lost about 50 pounds, and immediately I ran over. What are you doing? Where is it? How can I get there? And I think that worked in the beginning. But now, I've been this way a long time, a number of years, and people that know me only know me like this. They don't have a clue who I am. And so it becomes, when I'm out there, they ask me when I eat, the way I eat, and they'll say, you don't have that? No, I don't have that. And then I'm able to go into what I do and what I found and 12-step. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. It depends on the person. And I'd like to get the word out, because if I see someone that has a weight problem, I certainly can't go over and say, oh, have I got a solution for you? I know that if somebody had done that with me, I would have been aghast. I would have been so ashamed and angry. So I don't know, you know, how you approach someone that's in need without being, abrasive and shaming them, which is a problem. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll have two more shares, then we'll go ahead and keep going.
Hi, my name is Sherry. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Sherry.
You know, I thought I didn't have anything to say, but then I remembered when I first came into the program, and you are so excited about this thing you found, and you are really promoting it. And what changed for me was that when I was promoting it, I was scaring people away. And then someone had kind of kindly, and I realized on my own, just through the years, that my being who I am today and seeing my recovery is my attraction. And like many of us, we realize that we come to be thin, but then we stay to be sane. And that was really important. But that thinking about that just now is that, you know, if I were to walk into a room and try to be of attraction, it's a fine line, because I have to tell them what I was like, which is promoting me. But when we go out into the public, okay, there's a difference there. And I do have to be aware of that I cannot promote myself, and I can be anonymous, and that's okay, too. Thank you.
What I wanted to talk next about, again, the concept of attraction versus promotion, is I want to do just a quick review of, well, what do our traditions say about this? So just a quick review. Tradition 11, these are quotes. Tradition 11 is, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films, and other public media of communication. But I also wanted, just for a little bit more clarity, I wanted to read the long form of Tradition 11 from page 192 of the 12 and 12, which states, our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity. We think AA ought to avoid sensational advertising. Our names and pictures as AA members ought not to be broadcast, filmed, or publicly printed. Our public relations policy should be based on the principle of attraction rather than promotion. There is never need to praise ourselves. We feel it better to let our friends recommend us. So that's one quote. A couple things I wanted to point out is, on the long form of the tradition, again, our relations with the general public should be characterized by personal anonymity, which implies that we promote the program publicly, but that as we do so, we maintain personal anonymity. Promote the program, not the people behind it. And the second to last line, which says our public relations policy should be guided by the principle of attraction rather than promotion. The concept is there that it is our duty to carry the message, not our personalities, to the public. So that's one thought about that. I do want to put here, Tradition 5 does state, and I kind of tried to make it look like it was chiseled in stone. That was the closest I could get in a graphic. But each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. And that's really foundational to our program. It's our job to carry the message. I also wanted to provide some other quotes from conference-approved literature, again on this topic. Regarding Tradition 11 on page 181 of the 12 and 12, there's a line in there that says, obviously AA had to be publicized somehow. Now, with this quote or any of the quotes I'm providing, again, it's referenced in the handouts, and this deck, I believe, will be put on the website afterwards, I urge everybody to go back and look up these references. Don't just take it out of context. Read it in context, but that's one quote. Also, Tradition 12, which is, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. On that tradition, on page 186 of the 12 and 12, it was written, but it became apparent that word-of-mouth method was too limited. Our work, as such, needed to be publicized. The AA groups would have to reach quickly as many despairing alcoholics as they could. There's another quote that I got. I have the book Alcoholics Anonymous Comes of Age, page 144. It says, "We could therefore no longer be a seldom heard of secret society. Word of mouth communication with the few alcoholics we could contact by our then current methods would not only be slow, but dangerous. Dangerous because the recovery message in which we had such high confidence might soon be garbled and twisted beyond recognition. Clearly, our budding society and its message would have to be publicized." And then also, as Bill sees it, page 255, this is taken from the grapevine in November 1960, Bill W. said, "Nothing matters more to AA's future welfare than the manner in which we use the colossus of modern communication. Used unselfishly and well, it can produce results surpassing our present imagination. Should we handle this great instrument badly, we shall be shattered by the ego manifestations of our own people. Against this peril, AA members' anonymity before the general public is our shield and our buckler." And so, with all that being said, I just want to kind of go back. So what is our message? What is the message that we want the public to know? And that is, there is recovery possible from compulsive eating. Yay, celebration balloons, you know, there is recovery possible. But we also realize that our competence to speak about compulsive eating is limited to CHOW and its recovery program. There are lots of programs out there that will say, "I can help you lose weight. If you look online or look on the TV or look at any magazine, there's lots of messages, right? We're not for everybody. We recognize that. But what we do know, in our own experience, CHOW does work. And so our job is to get the message out and then let people decide for themselves. So we found it to be effective, so we want to make sure the public is aware of it. So again, I want to summarize this next part is, so who are we trying to reach? And this was actually, when I did some of the research for this was eye-opening for me because it never occurred to me before. Who are we trying to reach with that message? Well, there's three main groups. And one of the groups is the compulsive eater who still suffers. That's clearly who we want to reach. But there is a secondary group, and that is the professional community. People like clergymen or counselors or therapists whose job it is to find a way to help the compulsive eater find a way out of compulsive eating. They also are looking for a message, and they also come to us to say, do you have a solution? They're looking at the myriad of other options, and they're saying, do you guys have something that works? So there's the whole professional community. And then the third group is us, and that is CHOW members and service bodies. A service body would be like a meeting or an intergroup or an area or the World Service Organization. As a fellowship, we are, because we're trying to carry the message, we're trying to figure out how do we carry the message. So we're looking for help too. So there are really three groups. There's the compulsive eater who still suffers. There's the professional community who's trying to minister to that compulsive eater. And then there's CHOW people. As some people said to me before this workshop started, you know, Roberta, I'm really curious. How can we reach the compulsive eater? You guys are looking for information. I know there's some folks here that are specifically here to say, do you have any ideas I can use? Okay, so those are kind of the three main groups. So, again, let's consider the needs of each of these groups. You've got the compulsive eater, the professional community, and the CHOW members and service bodies. I want to take just a second and really drill down into each of those groups, okay? So the compulsive eater, who is that? Well, that would be men and women and young people from all walks of life, ages, nationalities, and religions who suffer from compulsive eating. And what's their need? Well, they need to know that there is recovery from compulsive eating. Their question is, do you have something that works? What they're also looking for is information about CHOW in general. Who are we? What's our history? How does our program work? The seven tools, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions. As somebody said, no fees, no dues, just results.
I have this really cool voice thing going on, so bear with me for a second.
And what is it that we offer? Hopefully we offer acceptance, understanding, communication, relief, and power. We also tell people where and when our meetings are and information on how to acquire program literature. But what are ultimately, what's the compulsive eater looking for? They want relief from compulsive eating. That's certainly what I wanted. I want relief from compulsive eating. I'd like to be thin. I'd like not to be obsessed by food. And as a fellowship, the question is, how can we help them? And what we can do is provide the info they need, either through the CHOW website or contacting WSO, the World Service Organization, or a local CHOW office, or just ask me. I'll pass along anything I've been given. The success that I've had, and my background, by the way, again, I've been in program about 5.5 years. I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. I sponsor on all levels. I've had tremendous recovery, not just in the food, but just the burden of life is off my shoulders to such a big degree. I'm happy to pass along anything I've been given, because the more I give it away, the more I get to keep it. I was so grateful to be on this year's Public Information Committee, because, again, I walked in going, huh? What is this? What are you supposed to do? And as a result, a year later, I know a ton more, and I'm much more solid in my own recovery because of that. So I'm grateful. The more I give to you, the more I get to keep. So that's the first group, the compulsive eater. That second group, the professional community, who are they? And that, again, could be doctors, therapists, clergymen, counselors, student health departments, anybody who's seeking to help the compulsive eater. And what is their need? Well, they want also an overview of CHOW, what's our history, how does the program work. They also probably are looking for information on our success rate. How successful are you? I mean, if we could publish and say 70% of our members have maintained their weight, you know, whatever the answer is, they would probably love that. We don't have it, but that's probably one of the things they're looking for. They also probably want to know when and where our meetings are. Maybe they might benefit from a recording or a sample meeting or a workshop that gives them a feel for what happens in meetings. Info on any upcoming events that CHOW may have. And also contacts, names, and numbers in case they have any questions. But what are they ultimately looking for? Well, they want a viable, successful solution that can tell people, that can help them as they seek to help the compulsive eater. And how can we help? How can we help that group? Maintain a website where they can come and get information on that, on all the stuff that we have. And then have members of the service bodies, individual members or intergroups, reach out to the professional community to say, look what we have. We have something that may help you. And then the last group, which is CHOW members and service bodies, again, who are these folks? Well, these are members of the CHOW Fellowship who have found recovery through working the CHOW concept. And what's their need? And the key point here is, for the most part, the people here in our fellowship, we already know the program works. It works if you work it. So that's good news. But they're also, you know, we're looking for information and documents that we can use to reach the compulsive eater. What's a sample document? What are some ideas that we can use? And that's one of the ways that this workshop can help. A little bit later, we'll actually give you some ideas that other members have tried to reach the public about this. And what's our fellowship looking for? Again, training and tools to help carry the message of recovery. And how can we help? Well, make sure that we give the members of our fellowship a vision. And that's really what we're trying to do here, is give you a vision about what we can do and then give you the tools to carry that message. Let me just pause for a second and say, any questions so far? Riveting stuff. So, okay. Next part. Okay, so now one of the things that came up is, well, what about the media? And wanted to summarize that CHOW and AA have enjoyed excellent relationships with print, radio, and television journalists, but there are certain guidelines that we follow, and that is anonymity is a basic tenet of our fellowship. It gives us the freedom to talk about our shared disease, since we know our anonymity will be respected. It also acts as a restraint upon our members. Again, there's some literature references that talk about, you know, we're all, you know, promoters, and look at me, and look at the great things that we have to do. And anonymity forces us to say, no, you know, Roberta, you're not the head of this. Our leaders are but trusted servants. So anonymity forces us to keep a right size. There's no spokesman or leader of our fellowship. Therefore, if we are identified in the media, we ask that first names only are used, and that no photographs or electronic images in which an individual's face may be recognized, which is one of the things I heard in the shares a little bit earlier. And again, just a note, public media communication does include the common method of social networking like YouTube and Facebook and things like that. Now, in the handout regarding our reminding the media of our anonymity, on the back page, I think, let's see what page it is, there's a sample letter that could be used to send to the media about our cherished tradition of anonymity. Let me find it real quick. I think it's like the second to last page. It's a sample anonymity letter. That basically reminds the media, if you do quote anybody about CHEL, please don't use their anything other than their first name, and don't use their photographs, so that even if an individual member says, I have no problem putting my face and my name in the paper, the media would say, thank you very much for sharing, but that's not what the 12 steps is all about. So there's a sample letter in there for you guys to use. And with that being said, the next question is, okay, so, and this is probably the meat of the presentation, this is where it gets really exciting. So what are the ways that we can reach the public about the CHEL message of recovery? And the answer is there are many, many ways, many ways. And the following slides are just a couple of examples, things that other members have done and things that we could do. So it's kind of a mix of things we could do and things that we have done. And again, just a reminder, the reason we're sharing this with you is that so that you or your service body or meeting or intergroup might consider if and how you can carry the message of recovery to the compulsive eater in your own community. Okay, so as we go through the next slide, here's like a little roadmap about how to read the next part. There's kind of four main columns I'm providing, and this is in the handout as well. The first column is, well, who are we trying to reach? What's the intended audience? The next is, well, what's the method of communication? What are the ways we're trying to reach them? What's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish? And then, well, what's the perspective? Are we doing this proactively or reactively? So that's kind of just the legend for the next couple slides. And here's way number one. Now, our intended audience is everybody, the compulsive eater, the professional community, and the CHEL Fellowship. And our method of communication is probably, this is foundational, our website, the CHEL website. If you haven't seen it recently, by the way, they've updated it to provide a lot, especially the meetings. You can sort on meeting times and locations. They've really done a great job at updating the website. And our goal, again, that's the central source of information for anybody who's looking to find out information about CHEL. And the perspective is it's reactive. We put information out on the website, but then people come to it. So we're reacting to what people are coming to find. So that's probably way number one, and that's probably the best way, and probably the way most people find out about us. Way number two, this is, again, targeting the compulsive eater. And this is the method of communication is personal relationships. People that have seen our weight loss or people that see us weigh and measure out in public or something. Basically, word of mouth is obviously one way to share the message of recovery with another compulsive eater. I also know of some members that have made little business cards that have, you know, the CHEL website and a phone number for the local office. And if someone ever asks them, I haven't seen you in years, how did you lose all that weight? They can actually give a card. So that's one way to actually reach people. And again, providing a local phone number is helpful as well. And the goal is point people to where to get information on CHEL. Give them a way in to find out more information. That's both reactive and proactive. That's another way. Way number three, again, the intended audience is the compulsive eater. And this is posting information on bulletin boards in public places. So it could be a library or a grocery store or a local hospital or a laundromat or a community center or a student union building, someplace where you know people are going to be going to look for information, post a handout. Now, the question is, well, what handout, Roberta, would you suggest? Again, there's a couple of suggestions in the back of the handout, but some of those are, they are, you know, 13 questions. Are you a compulsive eater? It could be a index card. It could be a letter. It could be a letter to the local community, dear neighbor. There's, again, some samples in there. Something that you can post on a bulletin board and that just, or hey, these are some upcoming meetings or events. The CHEL workshop. So from a visionary standpoint, that's something that somebody, an intergroup, could say, you know what, we're going to make it a point this month to go out and just post information at the post office, at the library, things like that, just to get the word out. That's one way. Another way, way number four, again, the intended audience is the compulsive eater. This is to make sure local phone books, be sure that CHEL is located in your local yellow pages under the appropriate headings. Things like eating disorders or a recovery center. Again, if you think about it, I'm a compulsive eater and I'm like, I'm burdened by this disease and I'm looking, how am I going to get help? I might go to the phone book. But if CHEL isn't listed in there, they're never going to know about us. So one project could be, let's go make sure that every local phone book in my community has a reference. And if it's not, how do I get it there? How do I make sure that the local CHEL number is represented? It may be in your community. It is already, and that's great. But if not, do you know? Connie? Yeah, do you want to come to the mic? Yeah.
What phone number would you put in the phone book? Because that's a fairly long-lasting document.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think what I've heard other members say is they put the local CHOW office. Now, I'm here in Southern California, so I would put the WSO number here in Los Angeles. But I would say in whatever community that you're in, I would definitely not put my phone number. Again, this is not about promoting me personally. So call Roberta. My husband would not be happy with the phone calls that we get. So I would give the local office. Any other suggestions from anybody or on that one? Please come to the mic, though.
What if you don't have an office?
That's a great question. Woody, do you want to come to the mic and address that?
There's two approaches that can be taken to that. We don't have an office. I think there's only two women groups with offices in the country, so everyone else is going to be affected by this. So at our in the group, we do have a contact person that's a volunteer position. It's her number that's placed in the newspaper when they do the quarterly list of nonprofit groups. And it's her number that's used on the business cards that we have and that's handed out in any kind of public relations effort. The other thing that can be done is to give the number for, we have that on our business cards too, the number for the World Service Office so they can contact there directly.
And there's one more comment. So, do you have a, you're a sign-in? Sure, go ahead, please. You're done signing, yeah.
At our intergroup, what we've done is we got an 800 number. And on the 800, it's just a voicemail, so people call in and they have different, you know, locations. So we have people in our Chicago area, in Wisconsin, in Ohio, and in Kansas City. So when they call in, then they can leave a message on that and someone can get back to them. It also, it can be forwarded to your email, so you can get an email message. You know, it's really a neat way to do it. And it's for the intergroup, it's cost-effective.
What we do is very similar to that, and it's Google, actually has Google, I think it's phones. If you sign up for a number, local number, your area code, and it's forwarded to whatever phone number you want, so you don't ever have to put your personal number on there. And or it goes to a voicemail, you check the voicemail. So
that's great. Thank you for the experts we have in the room. That's great. The next way number five, again, the intended audience is the compulsive eater. Now, the method of communication would be, for example, YouTube. This is an idea of something that could be done, and I've actually heard of some things that are kind of in the works to kind of do this, but the idea would be create a video that communicates the message of recovery through working the CHOW concept, also providing our website and local CHOW number. But again, note, in accordance with our tradition of anonymity, please no personal photos and no last names. But that being said, the idea is, as a compulsive eater, you know, I'm a compulsive eater, and I might go looking on YouTube, and I could say, I could enter compulsive eating or eating disorder. And a lot of stuff comes up. It would be great to see a message of hope. And I actually know of one CHOW filmmaker who's actually drafted a short video on this topic. It just hasn't been fully put together. But that could be something that could be done, and that's, again, a proactive approach. Again, the concept is when people are looking, what can you do to make sure that the information is there? Way number six, the intended audience would be the compulsive eater. The method of communication would be internet search sites. So let's say I go to Yahoo and I enter compulsive eating. Make sure that when the information comes up, CHOW is presented. Now, how do you do that? I have no idea. But somebody could take that on as a project. How do we make sure that when compulsive eater or eating disorder or treatment for, you know, food addictions, when that's entered, how do we make sure that CHOW comes up? That could be a project. I know of one member, actually, and I think I actually put that in there. I know of one member who, that's how they found CHOW. They entered, and in hindsight, she said, I don't know even what I entered. But whatever I entered, it came up, and that's how I found CHOW to begin with. So that's one way to find. Way number seven. This is a really cool way. It's called public service announcements, or PSAs. Now, a PSA is radio and TV stations usually have a quota of PSAs that they have to provide every year. So that means we as a fellowship could approach a radio station or a TV station and say, hey, can I do a public service announcement? Now, what's really cool about that is go off and run it for free and see how has already produced a really cool radio public service announcement. If you go on our website, again, one of the things I never knew were there was there until I actually had to work on this committee. I'm like, look at this. It's a professionally done recording that says, you know, I don't remember exactly, but, you know, I had trouble with eating and I found CL and, you know, life's much better now. You can actually take that to the radio station. All you have to do is provide the name and address of the local office or whatever number you're providing. And it's a great way to provide the fellowship with information. And I think someone wanted to share.
The way search engines pull up stuff is called spiders. And whoever does our website, there should have been embedded in the website like words and various things. So the more things that alert them, then the more it pops up. We have a website for our business, and we pop up the third when what I do is entered. We're the third one that pops up in the nation because my husband just took it, and he. So hopefully, whoever does the website has taken about the task to build, you know, put in all those spiders and. That's how it works.
Thank you very much. But that's a great example to say, as a project, are we sure that whoever made our website, and maybe they did, I don't know either way, maybe they did, they put in the keywords so that when the search engines are searching, and they're called spiders, I think you said?
Yeah.
Spiders, that's just the name of it. Do we have the spiders embedded in our website so that when search engines are trolling the Internet looking for stuff, have they found it? That's a great project. Maybe the answer is yes, but if not, then maybe the project becomes, let's create those spiders in there. Okay, way number 8, and I think I have 13 ways, so we're almost near the end. Way number 8, that intended audience is the compulsive eater. Now, this idea is to buy advertising, to actually buy advertising in a newspaper, radio commercial, TV commercial, billboards, maybe a bus stop advertising space, or a car wash advertising space, or a gas station advertising space. And the idea is to get the message out that there is recovery from compulsive eating. Now, a couple of examples here. This is very interesting. I actually got some really good stuff. Now, billboards. Twice this came up when we did the interviews with people. Twice billboards were a part in what I heard. One member let us know that she came into a 12-step recovery program as a result of a billboard that provided a message of hope of recovery from compulsive eating. It was just a simple billboard with a local phone number, and that was enough to bring her in the rooms. That was what one member said. Another member shared with me, in a different instance, that their inner group bought billboard space with a message similar to the one below, which was basically, it was a stop sign and the word compulsively eating. So stop compulsively eating. And it was just the local number. That's all that was there. And the member said that they ran the billboard in November and December around the holidays, and that their meeting rooms were full through the following March. Okay, so that, I mean, those are the results. So they speak for themselves, and someone wanted to come and share.
At one point, I was involved in something with this, and someone said to always look around for empty billboards and call the number and see if they're even willing to donate the space, and also on bus stop things. Because a lot of times they will do that. They will donate the space just to have it full.
In my town, and I assume everywhere, the billboard companies are also looking for tax deductions when they can use their empty space and put up something from a nonprofit corporation. They can use that as a tax deduction. So it really is just a matter of calling the billboard company. Now, the empty spaces, you know, sometimes is, you know, they're down in rail yards where only the rail workers get to see the message. But one year, my inner group had the opportunity. Well, the billboard company put our sign up at one of the most heavily trafficked intersections in town, and it was incredibly successful. The cost will be in getting the billboard papers made, which is, you know, what goes up on the billboard. But you can ask the company to recommend places, and because they know you're nonprofit, they'll give you the places. They'll give you the best prices. It costs, but wow, it packs the room.
Again, what I really like, what he shared a second ago, is about keep in mind what the billboard company is looking for. They're looking to make revenue or get a tax deduction. You can always think about, again, who's my audience? When I go and approach them and say, would you please let us run a public service announcement? If you think about what's going to make them win, you have a greater chance of success. So good point. The next way number 9, the intended audience, again, is the compulsive eater. And this is use modern media capabilities. For example, create a podcast that explains what See How is all about and make it available online. Or maybe create handouts that contain a barcode that people can scan and then listen to more information later. Again, as of the date of this workshop, which is 2012, these are all, to me, relatively new things. I only recently got a scanner on my cell phone, and I still haven't used it yet. So all this is kind of new to me, and there maybe folks in the audience are listening that are like, oh, that's old hat, Roberta. But again, the question is, how can we take this and bring our fellowship into the mix? Because, again, people are looking in a lot of variety of different ways. Way number 10. Now, this is the intended audience, is the compulsive eater and the professional community. And this was a great suggestion, and I believe it's been done a couple times, and that is to conduct a public information meeting. And that is, and there's some suggestions at the bottom, what we might do is a couple people would set up this meeting and invite lots of people, both compulsive eaters, maybe the professional community, and just say it's going to be on this date, at this time, have it in a nice location, have a bunch of people come from the fellowship, have them dress nicely, have maybe one or two long-term abstinence speakers that come and say, this is who I was, this is what happened, and this is what I'm like now, have handouts, have brochures, have people there to answer questions afterwards. From what I understand, this has been done and had great success to help people see what the heck is See How. So again, people can certainly come to a regular meeting, but a public information meeting allows, it's kind of non-threatening. So, hey, just come in here, just come and listen. That could, again, be posted on billboards and, you know, the library about upcoming events. Way number 11, this again is the compulsive eater and the professional community, and this could be a local health fair. Now, a health fair, they're put on by a number of organizations. It could be a local hospital or a medical group or a local employer. And basically, there's a booth that's set up where there's a booth talk and people manning it from See How saying, this is what See How's all about. Here's brochures. Here's information. My own company does a health fair. I could put together, have some other people join me from See How and just provide handouts. So again, a place to provide information where people are looking. This is related to the next, See How has had a lot of success with this. And there is a lot of information on our See How website regarding how to set this up. There was also a workshop last year about how to set up a health fair. So that's a recorded message, so there's a ton of information. Was there a comment? No, we're good. Okay. Related to that is way number 12. And this could be, it's very similar, but a booth at the county state fair. Again, it's this concept of, this is a place where there are lots of people coming through. Set up a booth and then provide information to the general community. I would say that one member shared with me that they had 20,000 visitors a day at their state fair. And the cost to set up a booth was $150, plus they had to man it. But it was a, quote, a wonderful way to rev up the old-timers in program. They set up shifts with a long-term member as well as a newer member, passing out See How pamphlets and answering questions. Now, I've worked a couple booths sometimes, and it's fascinating to see the number of heavier-set people walk by who see our sign and then immediately look away because they don't think it's them. And that's fine. That's great, you know. But then there were some people that we spoke to, and you know, I have to do my part and let God work in the rest. So, again, we got lots of information on our website about health fairs. And way number 13, our intended audience in this case, is the professional community, where we could actually do an outreach to the healthcare community. You could approach your doctor or your dentist or your optometrist and say, you know what, I found a lot of recovery in this. Could I leave some brochures or pamphlets in the waiting room? And one member shared that one member mentioned to me how her doctor had been very impressed with how she was managing her weight. And when the doctor asked how she did it, the member told her about See How and asked if she could provide See How brochures in the waiting room. The member ultimately approached her dentist and her endocrinologist to do the same thing. And as a result, their local meeting had 6 to 10 newcomers a week. I often think, there's different ways to reach people. Like I mentioned advertising before. Now, this is a separate issue, but I did read some literature that said in another fellowship, another 12-step program, they did a study of, well, what brought people into the rooms? What percentage of it was one-on-one communication? What percentage of it was advertising? And advertising was very small. It was a small percent, like 2% or something. However, if I'm the compulsive eater that's one of that 2%, I'm very grateful for whoever paid for that advertising because I need to know the message. The other thing about, again, the concept of a doctor's waiting room, I don't know about you guys, but when I go to a doctor's waiting room, I am a captive. I'm sitting there waiting for my doctor, and I'm looking. I'm reading the charts on the wall. So this is what an endocrinologist does. They're looking, okay, that's the bladder, that's an eye. Then I look down, and I'm like, any magazines? Okay, there's sporting magazines. I don't want that. Okay, I'm looking for something to read. So captive audience, great place to have a brochure, and especially messages like, are you looking to try to find a better way to manage your weight? Yes, I am. You know, so some thoughts there. So I think, I think I asked at this point. I was going to say, what other ways can you guys think of? I wanted to open it up. Are there any other ways beyond the ways that we suggested about ways to reach the compulsive eater? And again, if you want to share, just make sure you've signed in first. You're signed. Okay, sounds good.
We had a member move from our intergroup to Idaho, and the local AA meeting directory listed all the other 12-step organizations in Boise, and so they were willing to put CEA Howe with a contact name. And so I think that it's not intermingling programs, but obviously people in 12-step programs are open to us. So if there's an AA clubhouse or that type of organization. And I'd also like to say that another group of people that are interested in learning about recovery from compulsive overeating is family members and friends, because sometimes that's who stops at the booth at the county fair, is somebody who's concerned about their brother, their mother, their husband. The other people may be looking for the fried foods and all of that. Please don't tell me about recovery today. But the family members are looking for a solution. Thank you.
That's good. Thank you. You know, actually, I have another idea, and I helped put this together, and I didn't even think of it myself. But a couple years ago, one of my friends mentioned that there was a particular initiative going on for eating disorders. And I went online, and I realized they had a lot of references for, you know, if you're looking for information, call such and such. And CHOW wasn't there. So I added CHOW's information, and I put my name and my number. And for a couple years, I got calls. Somebody along the way in program said, Roberta, it shouldn't be your name and number. I didn't realize. But nonetheless, I tried it. So that's another way. A project could be for an intergroup or, an area to say, we're going to go looking online to say, if you enter the words eating disorder or food addict, what are the topics that come up? And if they're referring people to someplace, make sure that CHOW's out there. Contact them. Make sure they have the numbers and stuff. So, again, a couple of ideas on what we can do another idea. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just thought of it, actually. A lot of us belong to organized religion. And if we go into someone in our house of worship, they might be willing, since we're nonprofit, to even put something in their monthly newsletter. And that would be a great, believe me, people read those monthly newsletters.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And we'll go ahead, Woody, and we'll have one more share here, too.
A little while earlier, there was a mention made of a public information meeting where information is put out in the community and people are invited to come to this particular meeting. And generally in these meetings, a long timer or two share about their experience. And, of course, the strangers sit there and very politely listen to it. The main thing they're interested in is the food plan. But they have to hear everything. Well, as long as they're going to have to hear everything, I don't know how many of you in the rooms are not delegates and didn't get the chance to see this wonderful PICD that's been produced in Mexico and translated into English. It's incredibly moving and effective and professional. It will shortly be available through the World Service Office. So if you're interested, you can contact or have your intergroups contact the World Service Office, because that would be a tremendous program to put in a public information night. Thanks.
Good morning. I'm Gina. I'm a compulsive eater. My question would be, this is all great information. I've been in program 3 years. I've been to quite a few public information meetings for the public. Unfortunately, they were in Spanish. But I wanted to go because program has taught me to be open-minded. As I went to them, there's a lot of miscommunication about what's being presented today and what they know as public information meetings. So my question is, will this be translated in Spanish for the group, for the community, and is it already done on the Internet for them also?
That's a great question. I'm not the expert, but I can tell you that I think the quick answer to one is no, it's not available today. But that could be a project that's taken on perhaps by this next year's committee or by a fellowship, an area. Again, there's lots of work to be done. Service is needed at all levels and at every meeting. So I think, was there one other person to share, too? And have you signed in yet? Great, thanks.
I am Shelley, compulsive eater. And I feel like I still need some clarity about the boundaries, because I have recovery for a long time, but I've been slipping for in and out for the past couple of years. And I ran across, I'm a nurse in an ER and took care of a kid that began his new process of medical ailments after a gastric bypass, and had never heard of any of the 12 steps as far as eating, and thought, oh, what can I do? But because I'm slipping, like, what are the boundaries? And I want to go. There's a couple of doctors that I know that I just want to go tell them, kind of put the bypass doctors in my area. I just want to tell them, do you know that there's something else, and how could you? And really need some boundaries about the personal, like, how do you do the public service announcements and have somebody stand up and share what they've gone through without overstepping that boundary? Where does that?
Sure. And then, did you want to, shall it come up? And we're going to have a member jump in and see to answer that.
I know some bariatric programs that encourage their members to go to CEA How. I didn't speak in the beginning part. The difference between promotion and attraction is that CEA How is an inside-out job. And bariatrics can change the packaging on the outside, but not necessarily what is eating at us on the inside. And I think that because we are trifold recovery, we are spiritual, we are emotional or mental, whatever you want to call that, intellectual and physical. And I think that when you are approaching physicians, especially in bariatrics, that support system, it has to be about more than the weight loss, because the illusion that thin is well, we already know, is an illusion. And we are just, if anything, we're not detracting from that program, but we are providing support for success. And who am I to say what tools God wants to use to help somebody release the weight? We all know that we can lose weight. How do we keep the weight off? And that is what we have to offer, you know, as a program. And then the other question that I really have that I feel like hasn't been answered, I'm blessed that I live in Southern California and that I grew up in face-to-face meetings, and I do phone bridge when is necessary, but it's not my lifeline. So if I'm a phone bridge person and I've never been in a face-to-face meeting, what link goes with this for somebody that is on phone bridge and gets the length of time where they can start a meeting? What helps them to go with this? Okay, I'm going to attract the public. What am I bringing the public to? And I just think that's a component. Maybe it's an issue for in-program people. Okay, I've got all these people. What do I do? And who answers the question, how do I start these people? So, and maybe it's just another, maybe it's another workshop online, but I think it'd be really nice to have it on our tape.
And just real quick, Sherry, did you want to share as well? Yeah, and then we'll do Sherry. Go ahead.
My name is Loretta. I'm a compulsive eater. I would like to have some input or some, my question is, how are we going to reach, in California you don't have that big a problem, but in Texas and in Dallas we do, about reaching the minority compulsive eater. You know, what kind of information are we going to be able to put out there that's going to attract and get them to come into the rooms? No, that's our big dilemma, and we've been trying that over and over in our meetings and our intergroup and everything else, is trying to find out what to do. So anybody has an input on that, it'd be good.
And in a slide or two, I have some thoughts on that. So we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
I think there were two other people that wanted to share. Yes. And then we'll do two more shares, then we'll continue.
I'm Pamela, compulsive eater. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to address the question about what do we do to start a meeting. And if anyone interested in starting a meeting will email the World Service Office. We have a procedure which we can send out to you to give you the steps for starting a meeting, as well as the literature for starting a meeting and helping you out with any questions along the way. So contacting the World Service Office is a good starting point.
That's good stuff. So, yeah, sure, and then we'll hear.
Yeah, hi. And this is important because I am involved in the BOOCH meetings, and I encourage people to share where they're from. It's really important. Okay, and the reason that's important is because someone did that, and then she heard from someone else that lived near her, and the two of them opened a meeting in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And I believe there's 3 to 4 people, and they did exactly what they're supposed to do. They opened up the big book and started reading until someone had abstinence. But yeah, there is ways. It's just getting it organized and getting it, encouraging people to do that.
Good stuff. We'll have one more share.
Well, I'm Lois, and I'm from Texas.
Hi, Lois.
Dallas. I'm also a grateful recovering alcoholic, been sober since June 3rd of 81, been abstinent in CHOW since January 1st, 2011. And I'm just tremendously grateful. And the reason I share that is with all my years in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've never seen a finer piece of material.
That's the right answer.
I mean, wow. I am blown away. I mean, I'm like, wow. I mean, it's just professionally and clearly done. So I just wanted to say that. And then also I wanted to say that I wonder, you know, I'm not a delegate, but I just sat in and visited all week, or yesterday and the day before as a visitor. But those of us who are not delegates, who are throughout the country, who have an interest in this, I wonder if there could be a phone, like a once a week or once a month phone brainstorming or communication time. Because when I'm here and I hear things, it's like it resonates. And then, but if we can connect throughout the year on a monthly basis so we can take ideas and implement them. Because when I get away from here, the energy's going to lag.
Yeah.
So.
Excellent, and that's an excellent segue. Thank you, Lois, for actually the next part, which is, so what's the best way to accomplish all of this vision? And so there's a couple of, let me kind of move over here a little bit. There's a couple different people that we're talking about. Number one, there's no one best way to accomplish. Any way is good. All ways are good. But I just want to point out a couple different people. We have individual members, you know, me. There's the me, there's the you, individual members of CHOW. There's also individual meetings that have a bunch of different members. Then there's the intergroup and the area. And then there's the World Service Business Conference and then the World Business the World Service Organization. And all of these folks are potentially addressing the same thing. How can we reach the compulsive eater? What can I do? So again, I'm going to kind of flip through the slides. There are individual CHOW members in the upper part there that may on their own decide to try to carry the message of recovery to the compulsive eater. Or maybe an individual CHOW meeting may have one or several people responsible for doing this kind of thing. Often intergroup and areas have maybe a committee of a couple people that get together. Maybe they put on once a month or once every 3 months workshop or a project or do something together. Certainly at the annual business conference, there's a whole new committee that about 5 to 13 delegates that are assigned to the public information committee. And their job is, what can we do to spark interest, to carry it more than just, boy, that was a nice workshop. What can I do in my own community? And then, of course, there's the World Service Organization, which maintains the website for us. So there's a lot of different people involved. So what are the things that we can do? Well, local public information committees can build an understanding within the fellowship of the traditions and the part that public information plays. I have to admit, my own journey to come up to this point was, again, my first roadblock was, well, what about attraction versus promotion? Aren't we supposed to be letting people come to us And, you know, that does work, but we have to get the message. So sharing the traditions with people helps them come to a better understanding. Maybe there's a special meeting that can be held in different areas to spread the idea about what is attraction versus promotion. Maybe Tradition 11 workshops could be held. Maybe an individual or an intergroup or an area could create a public information newsletter that includes a list of health fairs or projects or other information about how the word is being spread. And if members have been asked to share their experience, strength, and hope on the radio or media, that information could be included in the newsletter. Maybe individual meetings can visit local groups to give talks about public information. I live in Southern California, but I'm in sales for a living, so I travel all the time. So the phone bridge for me is a lifeline. One of my thoughts personally is maybe I do a workshop on the phone bridge on public information. Do like a mini workshop for the phone bridge just to get the message out. Go ahead, Marie.
I have one, and it hasn't been mentioned as yet, and I've worked on this particular item in my sobriety, and that is a hotline number. You know, very oftentimes it's in the phone book, and finding, such as when I travel to other countries, the ability to find a meeting has been kind of an uphill battle sometimes. Just having a hotline number can connect me to the World Service, can connect me to other countries in order to get those pieces of information. And working on the hotline, you would reach people that you wouldn't necessarily otherwise reach.
Yeah. Some of the questions that have been raised earlier about what are we going to do to translate this into other languages and make sure the message is consistent, these are all open opportunities to say, I can do that. I can do that if I want to. How do I get the fellowship in Texas aware of what's going on? Things like that. So those are a couple of ideas. So in summary, we're kind of coming near the end. This really is, again, the purpose of the workshop was to help you get a better understanding about how to provide the public with information. Again, these are just guidelines. And based on our traditions and our own collective experience. And very much we encourage you guys to look for ways that you can carry the message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Now, if you have any questions or if you want to conduct your own public information outreach, you can certainly send an email to GSO, I hope that's right, Pamela, gso.cihow.org. Oh, GSO at, I'll have to correct that, I'm sorry, GSO at cihow.org. And ask to be put in touch with this year's Public Information Committee, because the committee is available to say, well, what can we do? Again, the committee can't do the work. It's at the local fellowship level. So it's a way to bring all the folks together. And with that, we wanted to thank you for joining us in today's Public Information Workshop. There is a mandatory reading I do at the end, which is, I wish to thank those who shared today. The requirements of the CIHOW concept are what this particular group has found to be effective in working the program. The opinions expressed here today by those who shared are our own and not necessarily those of Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How as a whole. Thank you for being here and participating in your recovery. After a moment of quiet meditation, would those who wish to please join me in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you very much.